This is the New England Patriots Roster Report Podcast on Patriots.com. The Roster Report Podcast is presented by Sullivan Tire and Bridgestone Tires. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Sullivan Tire Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
It is Friday, January 18th here at Gillette Stadium, and it is AFC Championship Game Week here for another Patriots.com Roster Report podcast presented by Sullivan Tire. And as Fred Kirsch likes to point out, a lot of hustle and bustle. A lot of extra PR people from the league in town this week setting up press conferences and increased media access. The CBS trucks are set up. They're setting up lighting in the tunnels because they get the extra cameras and access of showing teams coming in and out of the locker rooms and out of the tunnels. It's a big game, in case you haven't noticed, with a trip to the Super Bowl in New Orleans on the line. Exactly 11 years to the day, Paul Perillo, since the Patriots first shocked the world down in the Bayou with the win over the St. Louis Rams. But while we have a big game, we don't have a lot of big transactions this week, except for one, which is no surprise to Patriots fans, an injury-related move. Rob Gronkowski was replaced on injured reserve this week, was not yet replaced on the roster, so the Patriots have an open roster spot. I would speculate that they will fill that with a practice squad promotion on Saturday. Somebody will get a little extra bump in pay this week and maybe even a chance to be active. You never know. Who knows how the roster shakes out. More than likely, Gronkowski's spot will be filled by either Daniel Fells, who was inactive a week ago, or a guy like Malcolm Williams or Derek Martin, an extra special teamer, given the struggles the Patriots had on kick coverage last week. But get to Gronk, Paul. Second time in a one-year calendar span, basically, that the Patriots are without Rob Gronkowski for their biggest game of the year, or certainly without the Rob Gronkowski, as he was not himself in the Super Bowl, got hurt against the Ravens last year. Patriots won't have him this time. How big a deal is that? We know that Fred Kirsch kind of squashed it on PFW in Progress during the week, but how big a factor do you think that's going to be?
Yeah, I think it's fairly significant. It's unfortunate, obviously, because he's such a big part of what the Patriots do. You know, I think that when Fred talks about this, it's almost like if you say that it's a big deal, you're somehow saying that there's no way the Patriots offense can move the ball and score without him.
You're acknowledging weakness, and we have no weakness.
No one's saying that.
Right.
You know, we played five games without him, and the Patriots offense was pretty good in those five games. Scored 42 points against the Houston Texans and basically 41 more the next time they played without Rob Gronkowski. But there were also times where, you know, they scored 23 in Jacksonville, for example, and kind of slogged their way to 28 against Miami, which I know that that's still a decent amount of points, but it's below their average. So the bar is pretty high with that offense. I believe against Baltimore specifically for this matchup, Andy, he's important because I think the Ravens do a really good job of tackling. I think they do a good job of limited yards after catch. The Patriots like to spread you out horizontally, and the Ravens will play that game. They'll sort of crowd the line of scrimmage and let Ed Reed take care of the deep middle. Well, Gronkowski threatened the deep middle. He was a weapon in that deep seam route, and he and Brady had a lot of confidence in that, and I don't know if they have anybody that really can fill that role. And I'm not saying fill Gronkowski's role. I'm just talking about the role of getting down the field. Brandon Lloyd hasn't really been that guy. Occasionally, one of the other tight ends has done it in bit roles. You know, the Who Man has a catch or two down the field, and I think Fells might have a couple of deep ones as well. So maybe we'll see an unlikely source on Sunday.
I'm with you. I think it's a big deal. And I think it's a big deal for, you know, the main reason is in the red zone. This is the number two red zone defense in the NFL. The Ravens are very good in the red zone in terms of keeping you out of the end zone. And Rob Gronkowski, we know, is Brady's top threat in the red zone. The passing game from Brady is so much more efficient when he's throwing to Gronkowski down in that area because, flat out, he can beat people. He doesn't have to be open to be open. He can physically beat people even when covered. This team doesn't have a lot of those guys on the roster. I think that's the two biggest issues, the red zone, and if the going gets tough and things get bogged down and physical, where does Brady go with the football? Can somebody make a play and get open? Usually that's Rob Gronkowski. I think that's a major concern. That said, it's going to be a good ball game. The Patriots have a ton of weapons. They have, you know, they have weapons coming out of the woodwork. Last week, Shane Vereen, as Kevin Falk said, pulled the hat trick with three touchdowns and the type of performance that could propel him for the rest of his career. So this is a team that generally finds ways to fill the void left by injury. And I expect them to do that again. But I also don't just look past it like our friend Fred Kirsch does. Looking at the injury report, in a rarity, but not necessary for the postseason, Patriots have a short one and the Ravens have a long one. And that's not a surprise given that John Harbaugh was fined money earlier this year for injury report manipulation or whatever you want to call it with Ed Reed and his injury. So the Ravens list a lot of players, and a lot of them are full participation and probable. So the type of guys that John Harbaugh probably feels shouldn't even really be on the injury report, but if you're going to find me, they're on the injury report. But looking at the Patriots side of the ledger, Patriots have five guys listed as full participation and probable as of Friday. That includes Marquise Cole, who was limited earlier in the week with the finger, but is now full go, probable. Chandler Jones, with the ankle, suffered last week. Obviously the lesser. Wait a minute. That's the second time in a row. That just came to me.
What?
They both got hurt. Jones and Gronkowski both got hurt against the Colts the first time around, and no one noticed really Jones because it was a big deal that Gronkowski broke his arm. And this time around, Gronkowski broke his arm again, and no one noticed sort of again that Chandler Jones got, you know, nicked up and was on the sideline limping with that ankle injury again. But he is full participation as of Friday, was limited the first 2 days of the week. Probable. Paul, let's stop here for a minute because I think that's a big one. I think getting some pressure on Joe Flacco could be huge in terms of him getting the ball down the field and being comfortable in the pocket. And obviously we know they've had a lot of guys help out over the second half of the season, the Justin Francis's and, you know, now Jermaine Cunningham's back, Trevor Scott. But Chandler Jones has been, you know, one of the more consistent guys with Ninkovich in that area. If he is not a full go, how big a deal is that?
Well, I think that's another one that's significant. Now, the pressure on the passer for the Patriots has been lacking for the most part over the second half of the season. The one glaring exception was the season finale against Miami.
What do you want, 14 sacks?
Yeah,
seven
wasn't enough? They had seven sacks in that game. But Chandler Jones has been quiet. After a pretty good start, he has slowed down a little bit, but he's still, I think, a very important guy. He and Ninkovich have been the most consistent guys getting after the passer. So to have him at less than 100%, or perhaps, I mean, he's probable, so I'm assuming he's going to play. But if, for whatever reason, he weren't able to play, I think that's a significant loss. You have, I think, an opportunity to sort of roll the dice if you want to blitz in this game. I don't think that's necessarily something you want to be trying to live in with for 60 minutes against a team that can hit you with big plays. Chandler Jones is a guy the Patriots want out there, and they want him having a good game against Bryant McKinney on the left side.
I hear you, bro. Nick McDonald has a shoulder injury, full participation over the last couple days, probable. Trevor Scott, who could also be an aspect of that pass rush with a knee injury, full participation the last 2 days, probable. Danny Woodhead, who has a thumb injury on the first drive last week, left the game and allowed for the previously discussed Shane Vereen breakout game, wearing a taped, I don't want to say cast, but some sort of apparatus on his thumb in practice this week. It'll be interesting to see if he can go and what his ball security would be with that on his hand. But he's a full participation and probable. And Alfonso Denard missed a day earlier this week on Wednesday to deal with a hearing in Nebraska from his issues prior to the draft on assault charges. So Patriots relatively healthy. Everybody on the injury report is probable, which was a term Bill Belichick didn't use really at all in the regular season or very often at all and is now using in the postseason. The Ravens out. Asa Jackson, their cornerback. They have four guys that are questionable. Danelle Ellerby, Vontae Leach, Bernard Pierce, their running back, who's sort of their big back that they turn to spell Rice, and David Reed, a wide receiver that I've never heard of.
He's more of a special teams guy, but the first three names there.
You got a Pro Bowler, the guy who's going to make some money in the wake of Ray Lewis's retirement, and a running back that they balance out with.
He's been a big part of what they've done, especially as the season's gone on, the rookie out of Temple.
So, you know, and then they have, I can't count them now, but a ton of guys probable. That includes Bolden, Arthur Jones. We haven't even touched on that this week. Brother versus brother, Chandler and Arthur, both on the injury report, is probable.
It's AFC Championship time. There's no time for sappy features.
You're not rooting for your brother. Ray Lewis, Haloti Ngata, Terrell Suggs, Marshall Yanda. Basically anybody, Ed Reed, if you're a Pro Bowler and play for the Ravens, you're
Torrey
nicked
Smith.
Up. Torrey Smith, and you're listed as probable. And they are coming off a long physical game in Denver last week that Ray Rice said is the most physical, trying game he's ever been through in his career. How much of an issue is that going to be? Beyond the injuries and probables, just the fact that they played a double overtime game in the altitude of Denver last week.
Well, I think it's something to watch for, especially early. I know a lot of people think it'll be late because they're going to run out of gas, but I think if there are signs that they're fatigued, you might see them quickly, and you might see the Patriots get jump out in front and get a lead. And if that happens, I think it's going to be very difficult for Baltimore, given the scenario you just painted, to sort of muster up enough left in the tank to come back. But if they can get out quickly or play them to a standstill early, I think you sort of get some momentum from that. You know, and I think you sort of forget that you're tired and you say, listen, this is the way we won these games. This is the way we won last week. We just have to, you know, show some fortitude and stay in the game and we'll find a way to win it at the end. And I think it can quickly change. They played a lot of plays, but at the same time, defensively, don't you feel like Baltimore, if they can get some, you know, force some field goals early on, for example, and maybe get a turnover, even they might generate some confidence from that and say, hey, yeah, we've been out here a long time, but they're not scoring on us.
Right.
And we can play like this. We've shown that we can bend but not break. And if they break early, they might say, well, the Patriots are just a different animal and we're tired and we had a good run and we'll go home now.
Right. There's a lot of emotion on the line. Everybody's pointing to the retirement party. Ray Lewis will be retiring whenever this season ends. And I know at least a billboard in Boston is counting down, believing it'll be Sunday here in Foxborough. I even heard a commercial coming in. Some vodka company is advertising themselves as the official hard alcohol of the retirement party or whatever on Sunday. But you mentioned the Ravens and the score. Just the quick stats, they actually gave up more points than the Patriots this year, that great Ravens defense.
Yeah, and it's
although
been a great Ravens defense.
They're number
two
in the red zone in the NFL in terms of red zone defense, and number seven, I believe, in third down defense. So you're talking about forcing field goals. They have the ability to do that, and that would go a long way. Before we wrap this up, it's a little different than most weeks. AFC title week, so I figured we'd change it up. I have the Patriots winning 27-24, although I could just as easily see the Ravens winning. Just like I said last year, these two teams get together. I have no idea who's going to win. Paul Perillo?
I have the Patriots winning 27-24, although I could just as easily see the Ravens winning. I know that sounds like a broken record. Andy and I did
you stole my idea.
We did actually organically predict the same exact final score. I like the Patriots' chances in this game for some of the intangible reasons that we talked about with the fatigue factor and the home field and some of those things. I think they're just on the Patriots' side. I think right now the Patriots are just a little bit better of a football team, but I do not expect it to be easy.
Bottom line, there's a Super Bowl on the line. There's careers on the line. It's like a WWE retirement match for Ray Lewis. And, sort of like the Colts and Patriots early in the decade, these games live up to the hype lately. Ravens-Patriots, 6:30, Gillette Stadium, a trip to New Orleans on the line. Will Paul Perillo be on Bourbon Street flashing his boobies next week or 2 weeks from now?
I already promised, no matter how many beads, I'm keeping the shirt on, Andy.
We'll find out on Sunday. For Paul Perillo, I'm Andy Hart. That's another Patriots.com Roster Report podcast presented by Sullivan Tire. Peace out.
This has been the Sullivan Tire Roster Report Podcast from Patriots.com. Bridgestone Tires, available at over 60 Sullivan Tire locations across New England. Visit SullivanTire.com/Bridgestone today.